Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We have set up a Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
Patreon, however you want to say it.
A Patreon. We have set up a Patreon.
What that does is that just helps us get things like
train tickets,
petrol for you. And it helps us get to bigger and better guests. We'll be doing cool little things on there, like
nice little giveaways.
You can put in your questions, and then we can talk to you. So yeah, please go on to
www.patreon.com/overratedeverything.
We are back, episode 4.
Well, this is the thing. We started calling the episodes like episode 1, 2, 3 again.
Yeah.
But I've just put them out as like 18, 19, 20.
Oh, really? You are a fool.
Yeah. Let Moisey have it till the end of the season.
You had a waste of time.
Oh, Giggsy in it.
Good
Giggsy
night.
Have it.
Give it Giggsy.
So, this is episode 21.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
21 slash episode 4 of series 2.
Well, yeah. But again, I think it's just all one series. I've not even put it as series 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read somewhere that it's better to just do that.
I feel like we've lied to the listeners now.
Sorry, guys. It is episode 21, which is, I like that because it means that I mean, that's a better number. 21. That's 21 podcasts we've done, which is amazing. We've almost been doing this a year now, because the first two interviews that we did were pre
interviews or
the first two chats that we did were before the World Cup last year, weren't they? So that would have been
because we were sort of pondering, weren't we, whether to put them out, and I said obviously
wait
until after the World Cup.
I remember
we had this massive thing last year with during the World Cup, Swimming with Men was released. And we were saying, like, don't release that film during the World Cup because nobody wants to be in the cinema whilst the World Cup's on.
I mean, I do.
Lo and behold. Well, you do, yeah. But lo and behold, yeah, it did quite, not terribly in the cinema, but it's doing a lot better now on Netflix. It's on Netflix, by the way, if you want to go watch that.
And, you know, what a World Cup as well, I guess. If we were out in the first round.
Yeah, then if we didn't make it through the groups.
That's the one I was looking for. Then maybe, you know, but we did all right, didn't we?
Yeah, we did amazingly. But it's put a lot of pressure on us now, which was why we did so well this time, I think, because there was no pressure. But it's put a lot of pressure on us now for the Euros. So, but I mean, we've got a young, exciting squad.
Yeah.
So I think we'll do good. But anyway, that's not what the podcast is.
This is not a football podcast, guys. No. I mean, we could do a good football podcast. It'd just be you saying stuff and me going,
Me most weeks.
Yeah.
So we are back again.
We are.
Episode 4, and we've got a bit of a different guest this week, isn't it?
We have. We've got a fellow podcaster. We've both been on his podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, he got in touch with me on Twitter and said, would you be interested in me coming to Grimsby and doing an episode of his podcast, which is called Life in the Stocks, which, again, like Overrated, everything's available on all top like podcast streaming apps. And it was a great little chat, to be fair. And I remember we were talking about this in the car on the way to London just now. Saying, when he said, oh, can I come to your house and do it? And I was like, nah. You're a random guy off Twitter, mate. I don't think I want you around my house. So we sat in my wife's car down the seafront, and probably, I think, one of the hottest days of summer, and absolutely just melted, you know, because we've got to close the windows because of the Atmos. And we just melted for an hour. But it was good, and he was a top guy. We had a couple of pints after. And then he got in touch with you, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he got in touch with me not long after, because I think my episode went out just after yours. I don't think it was too much after. Mm. And yeah, same thing, got in touch on Twitter and he was like, do you fancy doing it? And I think we were just about to release this. I think we released this around about the time, the first episode of this, around the time that our episodes went out on that. Matt Stocks, we've not mentioned his name, is the guest today. Like you say, top bloke, innit?
Yeah, lovely bloke, yeah. Spot on. Yeah, I really like him. He's a pretty genuine, you know, genuine guy. He's no bullshit. He's really educated in terms of film and television. He's got a massive, massive passion for film.
In this interview when he's talking about film, sometimes football thing in this chat, sorry, I was just kind of going, there was
a lot that he was talking about and I was like, dude, I've never seen this.
We should be the ones who know more about film, being in the fuckers.
We're too busy making them instead of watching them.
That's it, mate. That's it, you know. I bet Picasso didn't go to many art galleries. Probably did.
Nah.
We went and met in Birmingham.
Solihull.
Near Birmingham. Yeah. Very nice area.
Beautiful.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, really, really nice area. It was handy for us. My brother lives in Birmingham. He lives in Sutton, so it's not far at all. I love Birmingham anyway, so any excuse to go there. So it's probably one of my favourite cities.
Yeah, and guys, we are happy to announce that you did that. You people who listen to this podcast, and you people who, especially you people who donate to our Patreon. You guys are the reason that we've left the North for the first time on the podcast.
Yeah, this is the first time out. It's our first podcast out of.
We went to Stephen and he lives Midlandy, don't he?
Yeah.
So okay, yeah. So yeah, but
still,
I mean,
north of where we are now.
Yeah, exactly. We happy to report that we recorded this episode with Matt Stocks in Solihull, and now we are in the beautiful capital city of London, where we've got a fucking really exciting weekend.
Yeah, we've got a great weekend. We've got a nice little B&B, haven't we?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It's the atmos that you can hear, if you can hear a bit of roads, it is because we are
that
in London.
That is the city of London.
Yeah, we've got a blanket that we've put.
It's very glam. We'll put a photo up on Instagram so you can see it.
On a bookcase. I hope the Airbnb host doesn't see it.
But no, we took a long drive, didn't we? I drove to Birmingham, you got the train, and then onwards to down to London. You said on the car on the way down, didn't you, like, who are you most excited for? And some of the guests that we've got, man, are like amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant guests.
Matt Stocks' subject is Hollywood remakes.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed quite a few bits in there with Matt. But what we have been doing, which we forgot because we've had a busy day, is a new segment to the podcast, is giving a few facts.
All right, yeah.
So we'll take a little pause while we get some facts for you. we're straight back, just dead quick. Sorry about that little pause there, guys. So a couple of little factoids about Hollywood remakes.
We've just learnt a mental one, by
the way. Yeah, yeah, yours is good. Yours is good. Mine's a bit of the silly side. So I Googled Hollywood remakes and got Bollywood remakes with a B, which Bollywood's massive, by the way. Like billions and billions
Ridiculous.
Of pound industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's the biggest film, it's other than America, is it? It's Bollywood.
I don't know.
I think they might have the biggest film industry.
I think like it's massive. It's pretty big, isn't it? Like they just churn out, I mean, film after film, a lot of music.
Same
kind
with
of stuff.
China as well, obviously, with the population. There's a massive, massive amount of films that get produced.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of this is a fact that we've not researched, but a lot of films in China and TV shows get censored quite a lot. So apparently Game of Thrones is censored very heavily in China because they don't really allow nudity and stuff.
Well, that's boring, isn't it?
So there's scenes where basically all they do, if there's a character nude, they'll just zoom into the face and just have a shot
just
looks dead random. Yeah,
I mean Emilia Clarke's face is very beautiful to look at as well. So that's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Bollywood made a remake of Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right.
That's got bike stunts and kinky stuff.
Oh.
What they stole from Hollywood, obviously there are hundreds and hundreds of comedies about men dressing up as old ladies in the world, But the similarities between, and this is the film, it's called Chache 420 and Mrs. Doubtfire are too much to be a coincidence. They're both about a divorced father who resorts to pretending to be an elderly nanny to be with their children again. Yeah, so there's. I mean, I love Mrs. Doubtfire. That's probably one of my favourite films from a kid. So I might give that a look out. So there is a Bollywood version of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, there you go.
Yours outdoes this.
Well, mind you, I saw a little photo, and I just Googled it, and then I saw that Scarface, obviously the Al Pacino classic, Say Hello to My Little Friend, is in fact a remake. And the original one was out in 1932, going by the same name, directed by a guy called Howard Hawks. Now on here it's saying, obviously, the original version wasn't nearly as scandalous or as raunchy as the...
Can I imagine it being the 30s? It'd be a bit more reserved.
A bit more reserved. And yeah, I mean, I just thought that kind of blew my mind.
That's crazy, isn't it? Because it's such an iconic film, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's something I never knew anyway. I wonder if Matt Stocks knew about it, because he seems to know a lot.
He probably does.
I might send it to him.
there's our little facts. We'll drop you straight into the interview with Matt now.
Chat.
Tough. Sorry, roll the chat. So we're here with Matt Stocks. Obviously, we just probably chatted about him in the intro. And he's prepared us a delicious selection of biscuits.
Yeah, which for me, trying to diet.
throwing a right old spanner in the works, haven't I?
Away from me, that'll be spot on. Cheers, mate.
So this is the selection here. Andy's favourite, Nice.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to be honest, seem a little bit cheap because I opened the packet and half of them just crumbled in my hands as I did.
Yeah, mate, I'm from Wivenshaw, right? So it's cheap and cheerful. No, I tell you what I like them. I had a maths teacher once who was from Australia. Apparently they're Australian biscuits, I don't know. But she just brought a pack in one day and was like, "These are great biscuits. Turn your phone off.
Don't tell us, you're not my boss."
Put your mic a little bit closer as well, T.
All right.
So I was always like, "Oh, okay," and I just liked him from then. She was a great teacher as well.
Tomo's favourites here, Hobnob.
This is how the other half live, mate.
Yeah, Hobnobs.
Biscuit and chocolate. Come on now.
It's got actual oats in it. Yeah. Wow, you fucking rich man.
And then these are my wild cards. These, I think, are the best biscuits on the market. Fox's Chunky Cookies. So you've got cookie and basically the best side of the Hobnob.
Can tell someone lives in Solihull.
It's also right. The hoi polloi.
It's also my nickname for my wife, that.
Is it really?
Chunky Cookie. No, it's not.
And this is the full wild card. Do you remember these?
Yes, mate. Trios, mate. Yeah.
Trio. I want a trio and I want one now. So dig in. Obviously, you're on a diet, so I apologise in advance.
I'm just trying not to be a greedy pig.
Which one do you reckon out of them four are going to be the best for dunking? Mine's out of the window. Mine are shit for dunking.
Yeah,
you have to be really quick.
And you've got to fish them out the
bottom. But that's why I've got the reflexes of a Jedi cat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's...
I don't know. I'm going to say Matt's are probably a safe bet.
Are probably the best for dunking. I obviously can't dunk because I've got ginger tea, so that would be all kinds of wrong.
That is... No, I mean, you know... Again, Solihull.
He sat it down next to me. He put his cup down next to me and went, "That's the ginger one." I was like, "You cheeky prick."
Oh, yeah, I didn't even make that
connection. He's got a nice one. Strawberry blonde.
You're not even ginger, though.
I know.
Slightly.
I know.
Hey, dude, I'll let you into a secret. I have a big soft spot in my heart for redheads. Okay. Amy Adams, I think, is the most beautiful woman on this earth and one of the best actresses I think that's ever lived.
She was in the fighter, the first film I saw her in was the
princess film. What's it called? Enchanted or something?
Yeah, it's a brilliant film.
And
actually,
she broke my heart. And then after that, I saw her in the fighter and I was like, what range?
She's amazing.
Yeah,
incredible.
She is really good. She is really good.
You won't kick her out of bed for fighting, would you?
You certainly would not. Nicole Kidman, another beautiful
under the
Isla Fisher. Just listing off
Isla
the
Fisher, Who else? What's I like her? Reese Witherspoon. Because I'm a big Doctor Who fan. Karen Gillan. Karen Gillan.
I thought you were going to say Catherine Tate. No. I've also got a soft spot for her. Really? I'm a bit partial to a bit of Catherine Tate, yeah.
Karen
Am I bothered?
Not one. Come to Grimsby, there's loads of them, mate.
I've been. I didn't see any. I'll have to come back. So how you boys doing? Thanks for coming around to my mother's abode.
Yeah. You know what, as you were driving around, we were saying how nice it is around here. Because I said to Matty, and I don't even know why I thought this. I said, he said, he lives in Solihull. I said, it's a bit stabby around there, mate. And then I rang my brother who lives in Sutton, not far from here. And I said, Solihull's a lot nicer than I thought. He was like, am I right in thinking, is it the Beck or something? What's it called? Driving through from Birmingham Airport to Solihull, you drive through a really rich area.
Catherine de Barnes,
yeah. Which is the most expensive place in England to live outside of London.
Is it really? Well, Lapworth is an area about 2 miles from here, and that's sort of the haven for a lot of celebrities. Everybody from Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath.
Casper Jarrett
is also here. And Tony.
Casper Jarrett.
You've all said Casper Jarrett.
Him and Tony Iommi used to come into the pub that I worked at together, along with Andy Gray, Steve Townsend, and the guy who presents on Midlands Today News, whose name I forget, Nick something, and there's a little like crew of them.
Yeah,
but there is a few areas around
the West Brom and the Villa players and that all live around there and stuff.
Yep.
So I couldn't have been further away from.
Well, no, there are a few rough areas. Chelmsley Wood is probably the more.
You need to be careful because if there's any listeners, you are going to get.
Yeah, but if they live there, they know. They know it's rough.
They're in the midst of it. I quite like it because I've only ever really been to sort of the centre of Birmingham. And, you know, like the Bullring and that, which actually walking through there today, I've gone, it's quite nice. It's a bit like Liverpool
amazing.
One.
I love the Bullring.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a nice building, is it? That Bullring.
What, the Bullring? Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's in it like renowned for being a big concrete mess? Or what?
I don't think it's aged very well. It looks like a spaceship.
Gorgeous. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's a lot nicer than the old one. The old one's still there, and that is literally
it
just
might be
a
the
circular
old one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
High rise.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Oh, no. You didn't see the brand new one. Yeah, that's the new one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, today I walked around, like, it looks a bit like Liverpool one, doesn't it? It's like an outside shopping centre with bits inside and stuff like that.
Oh, God,
I think it's the largest indoor shopping centre in Europe.
Is it? I know, just because they've took our title.
Trafford must be big on it.
I don't know. No, I don't know. They have just opened the world's biggest Primark. Took that right from Manchester.
Yeah.
Took that right.
What a claim to
Charlotte
fame.
Showed me it the other day. He was laying in bed. She went, oh my God. I was like, what's going on? And she showed me. And it was like, it's got like hair salons and all shit. Like, I was like, Charlotte, I'm not. She was like, can we go see your brother in Birmingham next week? And I was like, no, absolutely.
To go
not.
To Primark?
Yeah. It's like.
It's crazy, isn't it? The queues in there do my nutting me.
It's just like a cheap Selfridges, I'm guessing, is it? Like.
What, Primark?
It's just, it's becoming a department store, and it's like five floors. And
yeah, I think so.
They're selling, like, you can customise T-shirts, and they've got, like, a hairdressers and beauty salons and all that. Mm. So it's just like a
poor man's Selfridges.
Poor man's Selfridges.
I mean, fair play if you shop at Primark. I mean, I'm Primarnia,
isn't it?
Primarnia. They do some great T-shirts. I love
yeah,
the T-shirts.
Yeah, man, I'm at that age now where I've dropped my, oh, I need to wear Lyle and Scott or I need to wear Stoner. Like now I've started shopping on Boohoo.
That's
Man.
Boohoo Man, isn't it?
Boohoo
yeah.
Man, I love it.
Like, they do great Hawaiian shirts. This is what the one I'm wearing isn't from there, but they do.
Yeah, that's good for shit shirt now, that one.
Great Hawaiian shirt. Oh, come on now, this ain't fancy dress. This is just my look.
we'll come to the subject, which when you told us yesterday or the day before, I loved. I was like, yes, brilliant. And then messaged you, didn't it, T? And we were a little bit confused because we were like, and I hope you'll help us out here. So your subject is...
Otherwise, we're fucked and it's going to be a shit episode.
Your subject is Hollywood remakes.
It is.
Are we including reboots?
We're including all of that. And I really want to go especially into those areas of offshoots, prequels, sequels, reimaginings, all of that.
Yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about me first, to give some context? Because I'm not exactly a household name, am I?
A professional podcaster does, Tom.
A lot of people out there will be scratching their heads going, who the hell is this guy?
No, I doubt it, mate.
We was going to do it in the intro.
Okay.
Fine, come on.
You're going to talk me up.
But yeah, Matt Stocks, obviously, you run the great podcast, Life in the Stocks, which has had some incredible guests, including me and Thomas.
Yeah, present company included.
And Yeah, I mean, tell us about Life in the Stocks, I guess.
So it's a podcast I set up 2 years ago, and my background has always been in radio, so I've been broadcasting for about 10 years. But all the commercial stations I was working for, first of all Kerrang here in Birmingham, and then later on Team Rock in London, both of them closed down and went out of business. And I was also presenting on Scuzz TV, which also closed down and went out of business. You might be noticing a pattern.
I was going to say, yeah,
if you hire me, your business will fail. Down,
yeah, this is the last podcast.
And Metal Hammer magazine, I used to write for them, and they also went out of business. They're thankfully back. Kerrang Radio does still exist online. But I was just noticing this pattern that the rock music industry is struggling, as you know, music is indeed struggling because of the drop in album sales. And so I decided, you know what, I'm tired of having the rug pulled from underneath me every year. I'm just going to go out alone and try and, you know, build something that's mine, that I own, that nobody can then take away. So that's what I've been doing for the last 2 years, is building up the podcast from nothing to something, hopefully. And the premise of the show is in-depth conversations as opposed to interviews about each guest's life and their career and art and the world. And yeah, it's been a nice mix of actors, comedians, musicians. I had a sex therapist on.
Oh, nice.
A rock and roll doctor, photographers.
A rock and roll doctor?
So yeah, Hank Wangford is the guy's name. And
is he not the sex therapist?
No, he wasn't the sex therapist. The sex therapist was brilliant, and we talked all about Me Too and gender politics and you know, a lot of these hot topics at the moment, and she gave some real authoritative insight into all of that. But Hank Wangford, the rock and roll doctor, is a guy who was a personal physician to the likes of Keith Moon, Pete Townsend, Keith Richards, all those 60s rock and roll gods. And so he was the guy, he has seen it all. And he was the guy that got a lot of those guys off heroin.
Wow.
So he had all kinds of stories. And he's also a country musician, did a lot of touring in the 80s with Billy Bragg. Who else has been on the show? Tom Green, the comedian Tom Green. That was one of my favourite episodes.
Yes,
Steve-O
nice.
From Jackass
has
been on. John Lydon from Sex Pistols. Sean Ryder from Happy Mondays. Bez from Happy Mondays. Be Real from Cypress Hill. Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine. Yourselves, Alice Lowe. And I'm launching season two of the podcast in a week. Mm-hmm. And my first guest is your old mate, Stephen Graham.
Yeah, we were just discussing that.
Yeah, that's going to be a great episode. I love Steve.
He was on this podcast. He was fantastic.
I mean, it's still probably so one of funny. Our most listened to episodes, I think, isn't
it? And I think it is bound to be. I mean, he's not just a British icon, is he? Now he's going over to America. He's working. Well, he went over with Gangs of New York and he did all that over there, and obviously Boardwalk Empire. But now, like, he's working with Scorsese, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. So he's he's gone mad now, isn't he?
He's a Hollywood name.
Yeah, he is. But I'm still mad humble.
Yeah, mad humble. Like, you know, he did an interview the other day with, or he did it a while ago, but it was out yesterday with the Evening Standard.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
And he was still, like, saying really nice things about, you know, all of us lot from when we was younger. And, yeah, he's just always been that humble guy. Mm. And I think the more work that he does and the more recognisable he becomes more humble. Do you know what I mean? So, no doubt that's going to be a good listen, your episode. I'm looking forward to listening to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's crazy, isn't it? Because he now calls the likes of Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, now Martin Scorsese, his friends, personal friends. And as you say, he is so down to earth and real. And he invited me over to his house to do it. I'd never met the guy before in my life. And
see, I made you sit in a car on the seafront.
I know, yeah. Hey, that was a nice time, though. That was a nice setting, that was. We had fish and chips. I'll tell you what, though. If you remember, it was a baking hot day. And by the end of it, because we couldn't have the windows down, obviously, because it would crush the sound.
Sweat bombs.
We literally jumped out the car at the end, drenched in sweat.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was like a sauna.
But, yeah, it really, really was.
You both spoke to me about how much Stephen was a mentor to you guys early on.
Still is.
Yeah, definitely. I just did a short film with him before Christmas, and still, brilliant, kind of. Oh, nice one, mate. I still kind of like it was like fucking hell. Yeah, I forgot because I'd not really done any scenes with Steve since I was like 15 when we did the first This Is England. I kind of forgot how he gets into the zone and stuff like that. And I was like, shit, yeah, like fuck it, mate. It just ups your game, doesn't it? Because you're like, right, okay.
We're playing
the big leagues now.
Working with people like Steve really makes your job easy because he brings out something that it's just like a true feelings. And he terrified when he's playing Combo in This Is England. A lot of the scenes that we had to do together, I mean, he don't even have to say anything. He's got a look, and you know, but in such a loving, terrifying way I don't know what he does, but it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And we worked together on a little commercial recently again, and that was just a little bit of fun, and he was brilliant. Like, he's quality. He's great at comedy, he's great at the serious stuff, but yeah, he's just so down to earth, and I think that definitely shows, done it in all in interviews and stuff, so.
Yeah. What were you telling me about the scene where you were in the closet and you were basically left in there and you were,
I'm out now.
Thomas is very much out. Happened, yeah. You said that you thought that he was beating up Shimmy for real.
Oh, right. So in the scene,
in the movie for This Is England.
So in the scene where Combo's beating Milky up, Shane and Stephen both said to me, because I was prone to messing around all the time, I was in people's faces being a little shit. They said to me, right, you need to really, really, really focus here, because I'm taking Shimmy into this room and I'm whipping him. And I remember he was hitting the sofa with a bamboo. And in my head, because they told me, I thought he was hitting Shimmy. And obviously Shimmy was pretending to scream in pain to get my reaction. And I think, like, for a 14-year-old boy, I mean, Shane was like, mind-fucked me in a way, but in such a brilliant way. But, you know, like, I think I've said this before in previous interviews, that Shane doesn't just then go, right, that's a wrap, go on then. You know, he really comforts you. When he gets what he needs from you for a performance, it'll take you...
To Wagamama's
normal. It'll take you to Wagamama.
Bring you down gently. Yeah,
and bring you down gently. Yeah. You don't just say, right, that's a wrap, see you for the same again tomorrow. You know, Shane's works in such a beautiful way. But anyway, this isn't about... Shane.
It's not. Well, let me ask you guys a quick question before we get into my topic. What have been your favourite episodes to record so far? And what have been the most, you know, popular with your listeners?
Obviously, Steve is a big listen, because he's, like they say, rightly a household name now. John McClure.
John McClure was a great brilliant one. From Reverend
of the Makers. Yeah.
I really enjoyed Rebecca Ryan's.
Last week's was really good.
About chat music. Rebecca played Debbie in Shameless and she's in Casualty.
Yeah.
Yeah, which she, again, from, she was sort of shot into the limelight, wasn't she? You know, like,
yeah,
sort of
we were.
In a way. So, you know, we had a lot in common, and she's really, really cool and down to earth and telling us about how she's engaged.
Yeah.
And her fiancé, one of the terms was, we'll get married as long as you pass your driving test. So we'd caught her just off the back of a lesson.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was cool. That was a great episode.
Jess Ellis as well.
Jess Ellis was another good one.
The ones that I quite like are where, and we've got a few of these coming up now, I think, where we don't know the guest. Like with yourself, we've met you
before.
So we've got a bit of a rapport. You know, Steve, obviously, we've known since we were kids. Mm. So there's a few of them. But then there's a couple of guests that we've done where we've literally never met them.
They're my favourite because you get to know the person whilst the tape's running.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's all genuine as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Kieran Griffiths as well.
Kieran's was brilliant, yeah.
He's a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
Again, from Shameless.
He was episode one, wasn't he, as well?
He was the first one, yeah. And Briggsy, it's like being asked to choose your favourite kid, isn't it?
Well, they all offer something different, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing that we say, you know, over and over again is it's not, some people might be put off by the subject. So like episode two, for instance, is Biggie Smalls is overrated. So people who aren't necessarily into hip hop might go, I won't have anything to say about that.
Which was
that.
Me.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't really know.
Exactly.
I knew who Biggie was, obviously. But
well, we watched the film, didn't we, the night before and stuff.
Yeah. That's when we actually used to do research.
Now we just rock up.
You've already stopped.
The equipment. like we always say, like, don't be put off by the subject matter, because it's, the subject, like now, you know, we've come here with a subject, we've not discussed it yet, but that's fine because it's just an icebreaker for them people that we don't really know, or just to get the conversation started.
Yeah.
Remember when David Firth really threw us? David Firth threw us.
We sat there and he told us his subject, and then we got there and then, like, we started recording and then he went straight into another subject that we'd not even thought about. We were
two,
like,
on it.
Holy fuck. We was like, what?
Well, he changed it last minute and didn't tell you.
Well, no, it was a bit strange, wasn't it? So I said, okay, and tell us, like I did earlier with you, and tell us what your subject is. And his subject was...
Like Star Wars?
No, but I think his actual subject was... I can't think. It's been that long now. But anyway, so...
He mind-fucked you guys from the sounds of it.
Yeah. Well, he does that to a lot of people, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, his subject was always being right. So, like, you know, people in internet forums, Facebook, etc., having to be right and stuff. So I went, tell's your subject, Dave. And he went, Star Wars. And then we were like,
he was sat there wearing Star Wars trainers. Yeah. You had your high top things on.
Possible. I don't know. I ain't got any Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Yes, that, you know.
It's the same thing, isn't it, all that shit?
Fuck off.
So anyway, going on to the subject of films, your subject... Mm.
My subject is Hollywood remakes, and it's obviously a very broad subject.
Mm.
First of all, we should address all the Hollywood remakes, which are great.
Yeah,
which
well, are, frankly, I was going to really say good, this.
Because they're not all bad, of course. And there's a few that I've picked out that I wanted to, I guess, use as good examples of great Hollywood remakes.
Yeah.
And ones that I fully support. Vanilla Sky.
Yeah.
The Cameron Crowe film was originally a Spanish film.
Oh, right, okay.
Open Your Eyes.
Some of these you don't even realise. What was it we looked at earlier on and we didn't realise? I didn't realise. A Star is Born?
Yeah, but I knew that.
You knew
I that? I did
like,
know that, yeah.
I mean, I've
Barbara Streisand and...
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. But oh, I know there was three of them. There was two before and then Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga was the number three, wasn't it?
Fair. Yeah.
Third instalment, well, not instalment, but third remake.
See, I love when they take foreign films and remake them often because I get the idea, I understand the thinking behind that.
Yeah.
They go, that's a really good story and it would benefit from exposure to a more mainstream audience because, let's be honest, you guys know it working in the film industry, subtitled films don't have that same draw that English-speaking films do, do they?
Yeah.
That's
no,
just
no.
That's sadly a fact. It doesn't faze me. Mm. You know, I'll happily watch subtitled films.
But they can dub them a lot now as well, don't they?
I had dubbed films.
I really
quite.
Watched,
you lose all the emotion.
I watched a series on Netflix recently called Quicksand, which is set in Stockholm in Sweden, and it's all Swedish language, and it's all dubbed. And I think because we work in the industry, I noticed it. Because what I thought is when there was a scene, there was... by the side of a road, and all you could hear was the voices. You can hear them crystal clear.
No cars.
There's no atmosphere like, or anything like that. And I mentioned it to Charlotte, and she sat there going, I ain't got a fucking clue what you're on about. So
are
she,
the mouths not moving different as well?
Yeah,
they're moving. Speaking...
Yeah. But
I mean, I just find you lose
it,
all the emotion with
that. By the end of episode one, I was into it and loved it. And it's a brilliant series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever watched anything dubbed, apart from like when you put telly on when you're on holiday and it's The Simpsons in Spanish or something.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
But I really got into the only thing that I've watched a few films subtitled, but the only thing I've ever really like got into was Deutschland 83. Did you watch any of that?
You told me about that, but
oh, it's so good. It's so good. And that's German. It's set during the Cold War with an East German soldier kind of spying on the West Germans. It's brilliant. It's one of the... set in the 80s as well, so it's got that kind of proper cool music vibe and all that. But yeah, no, amazing series, and that's all subtitled. And at first, it took me a little while to get into it. But what helped me, actually, because I've since rewatched
German.
A tiny bit. No, but what actually helped me was watching it on my phone. Because it's a smaller screen, so you're not kind of looking about as much. You know, sometimes when you watch subtitles,
and you can't
films,
check your phone. Because
yeah, exactly.
You're watching the movie on
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's another one. I've since watched it back on my TV, and yeah,
you find the mind wandering, don't you? That never used to happen, did it? When we were younger and mobile phones weren't a thing.
Never.
You wouldn't sit there in a... I mean, it never happens in the cinema. Hopefully not.
No.
But when you watch a film at home often, and I'm guilty of it as well, you'll find your mind wandering, and I'll just go on Instagram and. That never used to be a thing, did it? You never sit there and get twitchy and itchy and...
I'm going
to
read a book.
Yeah. I'm going to pick up a magazine. No.
Yeah. I mean, again, is that just phones, though? Or is that because now you can just pause and rewind if you miss something as well? Do you know what I mean? There's an element
I think it's phones.
Yeah.
I do think they have this addictive...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Really?
Endorphin
so
releasing.
Addictive, yeah. So, I'm genuinely addicted to my phone.
Yeah, same.
And social media. Like, I can... The three apps that I use mainly would be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook... I can refresh Facebook, go off it, open Instagram, refresh Instagram, close it, go onto Twitter, go straight back to Instagram.
Repeat.
And I know that nothing's changed. And it's like, it just becomes that big cycle. And I put something on Twitter the other week about like how social media is a massive, massive reason for people struggling with mental issues now because people are so nasty online. So I tweeted something like Twitter's or social media's slowly making me hate the world. And then someone tweeted, yeah, but you're tweeting that. And I was like, yeah, because like, I will openly admit that I am addicted to social media.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether it's an attention thing. I don't know what it is, but it's scary. It really is.
It's just accessible, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it? Because like, especially like Twitter and stuff, you're just kind of recording thoughts. It's almost like a diary.
And a lot of the time, those thoughts don't need to be shared with the world. And that's the thing, I think, is people should filter themselves more. Not in the sense that you can and can't say that. It's just like, do they need to see a picture of these biscuits that I've made for you guys?
I hate people go, oh, Gary's been out
although
cheating
it is a very nice spread.
It's a crazy...
Gary's been out cheating on me and he hasn't paid his alimony, not American.
Keep some stuff private,
Charles Port is like, yeah, I get that you're probably having a bit of a shitty time, but
I'm sat on the toilet reading Facebook. I don't give a fuck, to be honest.
I want videos of cats and dogs.
That's all we want.
The other thing as well with it is I think people now live their lives by comparison more than ever.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my God, this person's always doing exciting things. They always look beautiful. And they're obviously seeing a very selective view of that person's life.
Exactly. Mm. There was a great post that I seen the other day, which was, I can't remember who posted it, but they said, stop following influencers and start following artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Because influencers will show you the life that they want you to see, where artists will make you go, oh my God, that's amazing. They'll inspire you.
To see the world in a different way, perhaps.
Exactly,
I
think that was what it said, actually. Just lost it there. But no, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. People live this, like, online persona. But, I mean, you know, I put photos of me eating my poached eggs in my dressing gown in the morning.
Every day.
And most days. Like, that's all my
social... This is real life.
This is my social media. It's eggs.
This is quality content. I mean, that's a word that I really despise as well, but we'll go off topic if we go down there. Content.
Yeah, so let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back. Love Martin it. Scorsese, The Departed, a brilliant Hollywood remake of the Hong Kong film Infernal Affairs. Okay. Fantastic. Even the Old Boy remake I loved. You know, obviously the original's superior, I think, but Spike Lee, Josh Brolin remake, brilliant. Ocean's 11, the first one at least.
Yeah,
you know, originally
we
that was a Rat Pack
this,
movie, wasn't it? With Dean and Frank and Sammy.
I've not seen the original. I'd quite like to see that because I like a bit of
it's very cool. Frank if you Sinatra. Like all of that kind of period in culture and music, then it would be right up your street. Very cool. Cape Fear, again, Martin Scorsese, great remake. There's loads. Magnificent Seven. That was a Western that I grew up as a kid watching every year.
Mm.
And Antoine Fuqua, is it? The guy who did Training Day and a lot of those Denzel Washington movies. He did it. But then you go on to the other side, and often it's when it's the original film is a vehicle for a particular star. So let's say The Italian Job and Alfie. Both Michael Caine, fantastic pieces of cult British 60s cinema.
Yeah.
And then you have Mark Wahlberg in the Italian Job remake.
Yeah,
and Jude Law in the new Alfie. And Arthur, a brilliant Dudley Moore film, remade with Russell Brand. And
when
it's a star vehicle, sometimes I just think, leave the original as was.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my main problem with this topic and this concept is the lack of originality in the film industry now. And all we're seeing is reboots of old... Like they're basically retelling old stories.
But I think for the younger generation who don't really know who Michael Caine is or, you know, like the younger generation, they'll... Like another example, I think, is Baywatch. You know, the Baywatch was obviously the original.
Was it ever a movie?
No, I think it was a TV
but
show.
But they rebooted it as a movie. Zac Efron and The Rock to get... the younger generation in. Because if they, like, I don't know, say...
Yeah, but that younger...
Do you think they're going to then go back and watch
Baywatch? That's what I was going to say, yeah. They're not
I don't know, but like a 13-year-old nowadays would go, who's Pamela Anderson? But they go, Zac
Efron. Missed out.
A 13-year-old back in my day, sunshine, would know who Pamela Anderson was.
But like nowadays, they'll know who Zac Efron is and they'll know who Dwayne Johnson is. So it's about, I don't... Getting... Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, it's money.
Of course.
That's it, I mean...
And that's, again, I think the point
the
I wanted to stress.
Can do any film and... People will go watch
Jumanji.
Did
they need to remake that for a modern audience?
No, I mean, the thing is...
I don't know. I disagree. I think things come on... No, I don't know if they need to make it, but I think the way that things come on and the way that films are made, people might not... Someone might watch Jumanji back in the day and go, this is shit.
It's dated.
It's dated, whereas kids nowadays, like, they won't watch something like that and go, this is amazing. They want to see the people who they're familiar with do in such... The way that films are shot now with CGI and all things like that, that's what appeals to the younger generation. Not necessarily what's...
True, and I have no problem with the technical glossing up of old films, but what I find a lot of these remakes lack is the subtleties and the nuance of the characterisation of the originals.
And
Jaws is a really good example. Have they remade Jaws? I'm sure they will at some point.
They will do. I mean, there was countless Jaws 2, Jaws 3.
Jaws is my...
I don't know. Didn't Jason Statham just do a film called Meg or something?
Does he
punch?
We've still not seen. I mean, 2015 was supposed to have a Jaws remake that never got released.
You don't see the shark until about 2/3 of the way into the film.
That's what's great,
and
about
that's
it.
Exactly why it's such a great film. And I wonder if they remade it today. Well, I don't wonder because I know the answer. You'd see the shark in the first 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
Godzilla. They did that. Like, there he is. There's the whole Godzilla straight away.
Things have changed.
Kids don't have attention spans, I guess.
Things have changed. Like you've just been moaning about your Mac. About your USB thing.
Yeah.
Like, things change. People
when actually
want different...
it was just the game.
It was just my little thing,
But people want different things nowadays.
I mean, but then again, so going back to Jumanji, right? This is what done, because have you watched the new Jumanji?
I have, yes.
I quite enjoyed the film. It was great. I like Jack Black. I love Jack Black.
Yeah.
You look like Jack Black.
Yeah, I've had that in auditions before. Yeah, can you do that again, just more like Jack Black?
Because we can't get the real Jack Black. So.
Yeah. And you're a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. No, so the new Jumanji, what I didn't like about it, I love the film. I didn't love the film. It was a good film. It was watchable. My little girl enjoyed it. She also really likes the original. Is spoon feeding or changing things that they go, well, no, we have to do it this way now because of this modern audience. So the original Jumanji is a board game.
The preconception that they need to be spoon fed.
Exactly.
Because it dumbs down the audience.
Exactly. So the original Jumanji is a board game. Mm. So they've got someone in Hollywood has sat there and gone, kids don't play board games now. No, kids don't play board games. They did in the 90s, but now it has to be a computer game. I mean, kids probably still do play board games, not as much as computer games, but the fact that they assume that a kid wouldn't understand what a board game is.
I don't know if they're assuming, or maybe they're just thinking times have changed so much.
Yeah, but I mean,
kids don't play board games anymore.
Of course they do. My little girl was playing Hungry Hippos yesterday.
Yeah, well, board games is in like a strategy game.
Well, yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is, yeah, they might not play it as much, and obviously kids are just sat, just little Fortnite machines.
If you put Monopoly in front of a kid nowadays, they're going to be like, well, I want my iPad.
But
times are changing. That's what.
If we could take it in a slight sidestep and look at perhaps more adult films and the remake.
Oh, this
of
is
adult
a bit of a sidestep.
Because I can understand and sympathise with wanting to update family films for a family audience.
Yeah.
Here's a great example of the most pointless film ever made. Gus Van Sant's shot-for-shot remake of Psycho. What a pointless exercise.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the remake, but obviously, like, the original Psycho was, like, just up there with...
I've never seen it.
He did a shot-for-shot remake, so it wasn't even that he just remade it.
Why?
He did a shot... Exactly. Why? Have you got... It's Gus Van Sant. I love Drugstore Cowboy, My Improv Idaho, who's a great director, Elephant. But why would you make shot-for-shot a reinterpretation of a film that's already... You're not going to get a better version than Hitchcock.
No.
You're just not.
It's obviously money. Is the newer version in colour?
It's in colour. It's got Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates.
Oh, right, okay.
Or Anthony... It's Norman Bates, isn't it?
Yeah, Norman Bates.
And Anthony, whatever his name is, the actor.
So literally shot by shot. Exactly
literally just shot by shot.
It's
like a student.
Money, it's got to be money.
That's project. And that's where I think the problem I have with it is. The Wicker Man, the Nicolas Cage remake of
that. Yeah, I went and watched that at the cinema. I've not seen the original.
You mean The Ride at Alton Towers, don't you, mate? The Wicker Man, come on.
I've seen the Nicolas Cage one.
Awful.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going to the cinemas, watching that and coming out going, what? And I was only about 16.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was that? I wasted time there. But I've not seen it. Is the original good?
The original's fantastic. Is it? Christopher Lee, yeah. It's one of those... There was a subgenre of movies at the time. There was Witch Hunter General, The Wicker Man. There was another one, like these kind of British gothic horror films.
Yeah, yeah.
Just iconic classic movies. King Kong as well. I get why you'd remake it from a technological point of view.
Yeah.
But again, it was just such a bad movie, wasn't it? And Peter Jackson is one of the best to ever do it, with Jack Black.
Black, yeah. I haven't seen the original, but I enjoyed that one.
Did you? I went and watched it at the cinemas with some mates. I fell asleep, and then I put it on once at home and I fell asleep again. Like, I've never made it through
it's
it all.
It's all just style over substance. And that's what a lot of these remakes, I find, as a viewer, are, is they look great.
Sort of film, you want to look great.
Yeah, and I think Marvel do it fantastically because Marvel's stories always have a backbone.
Yeah.
And you're always invested in the characters. DC, on the other hand,
yeah.
I mean, are they yet to make a new good film? Aquaman is one of the worst.
Is it bad? I've not seen it yet.
I've
given up on DC until obviously the
Batman
Joker.
Versus Superman.
Have you seen Shazam?
No,
I've not watched it yet.
Is that DC?
You've been and seen a comic book movie.
So listen. So I was away. Not away. We went for a country drive with my friends, and we found a little cinema. And we thought, yeah, we'll go.
You can say dogging.
We went. Yeah, okay. So two of the lads are into all of the whole X-Men, all that superhero stuff.
I take it you're not a comic book guy.
No, I'm not. Not really. And there was like, let's go watch Shazam, and I sat down. And I shit you not, within 10 minutes, I was like, what? This is exactly why I don't watch this shit.
But it doesn't mean to say
that I won't do it if there's anyone listening. I like money. And
what
money
you're
in
watching, though, like me
yeah,
and Matt
that's
were just
exactly
saying
what
there,
they said.
Is it DC, like basically, so you've got Marvel, you've got DC.
I know
Marvel do it very well with Disney, and DC just haven't got it yet. There's some Wonder Woman was good.
I didn't see that one, but after Batman versus Superman, I vowed to never watch another one.
I
only watched Aquaman because of Jason Momoa, because I think he's just a very charismatic, cool dude. Yeah. And he is a super cool dude, but Aquaman is
a bad movie.
Travesty.
Oh my.
Oh really?
I mean, it's so bad. I'm not just saying that to be, a critic.
Yeah, see, I've never really been into him, and I said to him when I was walking out, I said, that's just reminding me why I don't like superhero movies. And they said exactly that. They said, that wasn't a good one to go and watch. They said, if you go and watch Iron Man.
Yeah, give MCU a go.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Thank you very much.
So that's your Iron Man, your Captain America, your Thor.
Yeah, and that's what they said. They said, watch all them ones. Because there's a new one out.
Endgame.
And that's like the most...
Don't start there, though, because you'll have no idea. Do not start.
That's
after an 11-year franchise building, you go straight to the finish line.
Yeah. Where's everybody? I thought you said he was in this.
You just said you're going to start Line of Duty at Series 5.
True, but I found I can enjoy that without any backstory.
You will not be able to watch Endgame. I mean,
I don't want to be honest.
And I will not.
My missus, like UT, a month ago, was like, no, not interested in comic book films. She won't watch Star Wars or anything like that. And then basically a fair few of us were going to watch Captain Marvel. So we've got these Cineworld Unlimited cards.
God, how much are they for the year?
I don't know, like $17.99 a month.
So basically the cost of one cinema outing.
Exactly.
That's
mad. If you go to the cinemas twice in a month, you've made your money back.
I'm going to do it today.
Make the great. So we went and watched Captain Marvel. My wife hadn't seen any of them, but I was kind of like, oh, it's okay, because it's set in the 90s, so no one's really been in it yet apart from Captain America, but we went and watched it. No, he's not dead. He's just in ice.
Well, you've just ruined it for me. Nice one.
So she absolutely loved it, Captain Marvel. So I was like, right, okay. Now we've got to do the MCU in a month before Endgame comes out this month. So we're doing it. We started.
It's 22 films, is it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So we've breezed through them pretty well. She's loving them as well.
I was going to say,
that's Emily. She's not one bit into sci-fi or anything. She likes Harry Potter, which I know you're not a fan.
Well, yeah, not that I'm not a fan. I've just never really got round to it. I just kind of was a bit like, I don't know, maybe I watched a bit of the first one when I was a bit younger.
You were outside playing footy while I was inside
reading
Harry Potter.
That's what I mean,
Potter.
I was out playing footy and that's the difference. Just being an absolute lad all the time.
Just kissing girls, having fun,
Dogging and Shazam on the weekends.
There's an article on, and people can Google this, you should do it actually, if you've already started, you've missed the boat, but I think you can, you can definitely do it. There's an article which shows you, not the release of the films, but the release in which they take place.
That's what we're watching it in,
you're watching them in chronological
order. Yeah, I've got a thing that's like...
Nicely done, my friend.
The lads I went with have sent me a thing to say that's the order that you need to watch them.
Yeah, I've got
a
picture.
And I will get around to it, but I mean...
Honestly, mate, you'll enjoy it. I mean, there's some of them...
Here we go, the ice cream man.
Oh, but you've got
You're in the suburbs. You're in the suburbs now, boys.
Jeez. we've watched them chronological order, and I remember watching them the first time, and like... The first Captain America, I remember just not enjoying. I don't know why. The only thing I liked
I remember thinking the same, yeah.
Is it was filmed in Manchester a bit. So I was like, oh, right, cool. I like that. I mean, it's done up as New York, but, you know. but since rewatching them, there isn't a bad one. Like, they're all fucking great films.
Didn't they make one about a bumblebee recently?
A bumblebee?
Ant-Man and Wasp, he's thinking.
Oh, Ant-Man and Wasp. No, it's not about a bumblebee. See, again, so I turned around to my missus the other day because we came on...
to go watch a film about a robotic bee.
No, you're thinking of Transformers there. No, I said to my missus the other day...
Yeah, there
was
a Transformers movie just called Bees or something.
Bumblebee.
Is that the one I'm on about?
Yeah.
Forget that, Transformers.
But
again, awful.
It's not for me.
I have to watch them just out of curiosity. But yeah, anyway, so I said to my missus the other day, I was like, right, we're on Ant-Man, so let's watch that.
What the fuck?
And she was like,
Ant-Man?
And she went, what's Ant-Man? And
Paul Rudd's in it. He's really good.
He is brilliant. Really so good. I was saying to my missus, I was like, no, it's really good. And she went, right, what's it about? So bear in mind,
a mechanical ant?
She'd watched all the others. And I was like, so it's this guy, basically, can shrink down, like, really small, and then he can control ants with his mind. And she was like, no.
Yeah,
and I was like, well,
wonderful.
You've got to watch it because it fits into the universe. You won't understand other bits without that. And then she loved it. It sounds
the
daft.
Funniest of all of them, isn't it?
No, it doesn't sound
like a comedy. Well, and Thor is
Ragnarok,
so funny.
Yeah.
Bring me another. Smashes that.
She loved that. She loves Thor.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Let's pick out
swiftly
some more
moving
awful
on.
Remakes. So here's another thing they did a while ago. They would remake those iconic 50s sci-fi films. So Invasion of the Body Snatchers, they did one called Invasion with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was like a weird,
awful. The Day the Earth Stood Still, they did with Keanu Reeves.
Yes, yes.
Awful. And I get it, you know, if you're a teenager now, you're probably not going to go back and watch a 50s black and white film. But what I'm here to say is you should.
Mm.
They will seem a bit kitsch and dated, but there's quality writing within, and they just have...
There's a certain level of expectation now with movies, though, I think.
And that, for me, is a shame, I think. It is. It's part of my problem with it all, is people, as you say, they go in, I want explosions, and I want, you know, HD. And
it's the same with TV as well. I was sitting watching The Royal Family, and I just thought the idea of that...
Great show.
You're sitting, and it's one set...
One shot, most of it.
Yeah,
well, isn't it?
It's sort of just a family sitting there, and I was thinking...
That would never get made today. And again, what a shame, because it's such a fantastically written, brilliant piece of British comedy history, isn't it?
Just saying.
Is it really?
Same with Inshaw, yeah.
That's what I mean. I just thought there's no way... All it come down to was great characters and great writing. That's all it took to have a sitcom, if you like, in... sort of the 90s, whereas now it's like...
Do sitcoms even exist anymore? Are there any?
I don't think...
I was trying to think
sitcom,
the other day.
I mean, you've got... There is a few sort of...
Other than Miranda, which is awful.
Yeah, I give that
and like
one.
Like Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Oh, man.
I grew up with like Irish grandparents, and Mrs. Brown's Boys... is an old show. Like, that's been going since the 90s. Like, my nanny used to have all them on DVD years before
VHS.
The BBC. Yeah, VHS, yeah. And the older ones that they used to go out, I think they used to go out on RTE only. They're quite good. I think, it's a bit dated now as well, isn't it? Like, you couldn't even imagine something like Friends, really, nowadays. I mean,
you get that certain level now. And to be fair, though, it's not... I think a lot of it stems down to because people don't watch telly. Mm. I don't have Channel 1, 2, 3 and 4 at my house. Oh, because everything that I watch is like on iPlayer, on ITV or Netflix and stuff like that. I just think people don't go around now and on a Thursday night go, 9 o'clock, I need to be at home. I need to be at home
Do you know what, though? I've been doing that every Sunday at 9 for Line of Duty, the first time in years.
What's the point when you think watch it's coming Monday back. Morning on your sofa?
It's that ritual, isn't it?
Stay in the pub, watch it when you get up in the morning, hungover.
Yeah, I mean, there's
with
some
a bacon sandwich. That's
You've got this dialed in.
Well, I'm just saying how much it's changed now. People don't need to rush home from the pub to watch The Bill at 9 when they can just watch it in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, as Matt said, it's quite rightly happening a little bit more now with Line of Duty. I know, obviously, Game of Thrones, The Bodyguard. Was it The Bodyguard?
The Bodyguard was brilliant. That was one that I was watching. Every sort of week, me and Charlotte was like, wow.
I think it's that idea that you don't want to miss the episode, go out, and then see what's happened online. Because that's another big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, spoilers.
Is people, if they can't get to the new Game of Thrones episode that night... You see some people go, right, I'm off the internet for 24 hours till I've seen it. Like, that's this big sacrifice that they're making. You might do it, but would you go online and make a point of it?
Oh,
like,
I am
coming off Twitter for 5 hours. Yeah. Like, do you want a fucking round of applause? Like, oh, my God, you're going to log off the internet for half a day.
Yeah.
You hero.
Yeah. I think as well, like, if you do that, you just set yourself up to be a target. It's like, I'm going to text you, fucking this happens in that or whatever.
You just said doo-doo.
What?
You do-do.
I mean, coming back to your thing, one that I can't stand nowadays, and it's coming back to that kind of lack of imagination and stuff.
That's my big problem, really. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of great Hollywood remakes.
Yeah.
It's just a lack of imagination on the industry's point.
Originality.
And then there's just a lack of... Are they just really having that little respect for their audience now?
Yeah.
They just keep... And, you know, with recent 80s remakes, I can understand if it's 50s, 60s, you know, it's a long time ago. They're now remaking 80s stuff, Pet Sematary, It. And it was actually a pretty good remake.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like...
American.
I quite liked it, yeah. I loved the music. I loved the scene where The Cure's playing and they're cleaning out the bathroom.
Yeah, that scene when I think they're in the basement and It's... there.
Do you want a biscuit, mate?
No, I'm alright.
When it clowns and he goes boo right in his face, I just I don't know. I watched it and come out like because I'd seen the original with my mum and I like loved it and it terrified me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But then I went into the cinema thinking and then come out and I was like,
do you know why that is?
I thought it was more funny.
I think if you have good memories of a film, the remake will never top the original.
But again, like,
even if it's a better movie, because it isn't a good movie. The original, it's not a good film, but. It has that kitsch appeal and
but
nostalgic.
It was, but I mean, the horror wasn't in this new one.
No.
But yeah, me and my missus...
It was more laugh... The bits in that film that were supposed to be scary and make you jump, I physically found myself laughing at the cinema.
Same.
And it was like... I mean, it was great. And the kid... I can't remember the name of the guy who played...
That Finn Wolfhard kid who's in Stranger Things. But you know,
I didn't like that casting either. I thought, well, Stranger Things is...
Will Poulter was supposed to play.
Oh, was it?
Will Poulter was supposed to play Pennywise.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so he was... He'd make a great Pennywise. Yeah,
he's got the face for it.
Yeah, so, yeah. But the director, who was originally supposed to do it, walked out or something went on. And Will said, I only want to do it if he's doing it. Or maybe the other way around, or something happened. Like, but yeah, I know that he was supposed to do it.
I thought the casting...
Will Poulter was... Sorry, was he in Mad Max, the recent remake of that?
Oh, I don't know.
As the Detroit. Weird little
thing that gets sprayed with the
I've
ice
not seen
in his
it.
Teeth.
Should I'm we have a quick Google
You know Will
Mad Max Fury Road? Yeah.
Google
and,
check.
You know, that was a brilliant remake, but it's the same guy that did the originals.
Ah, so it's more
and
of a...
Mad Max Fury Road, honestly, if you haven't seen that.
I've never watched a Mad Max film.
No. Never.
Is it Mel Gibson in the original?
Yeah.
I've never watched
it. It was filmed in Hartlepool, was there?
Really?
I think it was filmed in
I don't know whether people have just told you that because it's set
I
in
think
a really
it's all
bleak...
Australian because it's an Australian film director.
It's set in like a really...
The outback.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might be...
A really bleak dystopian future. Probably Hartlepool. Sorry to the Hartlepool listeners.
Is he in it?
I don't know. My phone's not because we're in the middle of nowhere. I've got no signal.
We'll fact check.
We'll do that. Yeah,
I'm
we'll
sure he's in it. Sorry, Andy. What are you going to say before I got excited?
No, you're right, mate. What I was going to say is like I am.
Going back to the
lack of imagination for me. As much as I am, bit of a socialist lefty, I absolutely fucking love Disney. Like, love them. The biggest, you know. Capital R, love Disney, love it. Nowadays, they're just
What's politics got to do with Disney? Very quickly, I'm just interested in your take.
Just
on
because,
that.
Like, they're normally seen as this big kind of capitalistic entity that is
right,
Disney,
reinforcing
like,
old-fashioned values.
Yeah, and like they own
the
everything.
Woman needs
now.
A prince, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I grew up on Disney, and I absolutely love Disney. I love going to Disney World. Like, I just
Disney's
I just
the best, man. Jungle Book, first of all. What
Jungle
did you
Book.
Think of that one?
The remake.
I loved it.
I got Margot Robbie.
Yes,
Bill Murray
was in that
Bill
one.
Murray
Idris
as Baloo.
Elba.
Christopher Walken as Louis King of the Swingers. Genius casting.
I've not seen it all the way through.
It as well.
Oh, did it? I like Favreau. Yeah.
Don't judge me. I've never seen a Jungle Book.
You've not seen the cartoon, the original?
No. Wow. Or The Lion King.
Really?
You've never seen...
He also...
I was going to take a photo of his face.
You missed the moment now.
I was going to take a photo of your face then for the Instagram.
Absolute shock.
Like, what... I want to hug you and ask
all,
you about your childhood.
You.
What, you never seen The Lion King?
No, never seen it.
Jeez.
No. Favreau's making the remake of that as well.
Yeah, I just
The Lion King, I might go watch a new one.
No, don't. Yeah. I mean, again.
Probably, I'll probably go watch it. And that goes back to...
Every Jungle Book.
That goes back to...
What you're saying
I might watch a little cartoon and I'll be like, nah. It's like when you put Sky One on and there's an old episode of The Simpsons. I'm like, But if there's a newer version, now you can tell with like the graphics and the way it's made. And like, I'd much rather watch a newer one than an older one.
Oh, mate.
So I'd much rather watch the new Lion King than an old crappy cartoon.
He's gone from shock to pure rage.
No, I mean, they started remaking these things with the Jungle Book, which admittedly, I did buy on Apple and me and my missus started watching it and then we got tired. We just never put it back on. I don't know why. I maybe need to give it a watch. Went and watched Dumbo the other day, so I'm a little girl.
So we need to talk about Tim Burton, because Planet of the Apes, Willy Wonka, and what was the other one he did?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
Alice in Wonderland. Three of the worst films.
We're
actors, and I don't want to ever, not get on the Tim Burton ship, because I would fucking love to jump on that Tim Burton
ship. But
when
you compare them to Big Fish, Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I mean, exactly like Matt's just said, yeah, Tim
His
Burton's films of late
a massive dip,
haven't man. Necessarily, yeah, they've not
Charlie
been as great.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory did, so
Hated it. Loved the original with all my heart.
Have you seen the original Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, the one with...
Thank you so much, because that's...
With Gene Wilder?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I preferred
the... Oh my God.
Get on a fucking boat and just go away.
Yeah. What? Well, there you go. Like, it's just... It's a personal preference. Get the fuck out of my face, all right? I'll take you outside and beat you up. I don't give a fuck.
Has this ever happened before?
No.
I love it.
Never.
I mean, we'll scrap.
Yeah.
But no, it nearly happened in Kendall once, didn't it? What were we talking about?
I don't know.
We were driving
Not
down...
Not on
a,
the podcast, though.
We were driving down a country lane in Kendall.
Oh, my God.
Me and him were arguing. Like, we're like an old man and woman, aren't we? And both our, like, missuses are in the car. And he just went, shut the fuck up or I'll get out and fight you. So I was like, go on then. So he pulled over the car. Me and him got out just had a little slapping match. not like real. Like, yeah. We were just dicking
with
about.
With the girls inside, yeah. Just looking out like, what?
Yeah. What idiots, yeah. Hung
yeah,
over
no, it's just, I
can't believe you preferred the Tim Burton one.
And I don't know whether it's because of the quality of it or how it's made or... I don't know. I just
thought it was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And I love Johnny Depp and I love Tim Burton, but those two films, Alice in Wonderland, I thought was atrocious as well.
Yeah, I nearly had.
They did two of them as well, didn't they? Two Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, I nearly had a. But
Tim Burton didn't direct
second.
In the second one?
Yeah, well, not really.
Did Tim Burton do that the second one?
No. It was when we were doing a 90, I think. My agent rang and was like, "Oh, do you fancy?" It was just after we'd finished filming 90 or something, but it was basically to play
Tweedledee
while Matt Lucas was being Tweedledum, swap over while Matt Lucas was being Tweedledum, I'd be Tweedledee.
Which would be cool. Standard.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, exactly. but they were like, you know, it'd be great and all that. But
yeah,
I turned it down.
I've just come off the back of the biggest Channel 4 series ever.
I'm not going to be a stunt double.
No, I'm
Matt
not going to be a fucking stunt double.
Doors.
Thank you very much. I'm changing agents. Goodbye.
I considered it and I was like, oh, that'd be fun. And I thought, oh yeah, Tim Burton, you know, working with Johnny Depp, Matt Lucas, who, as you just said then, George Dawes, like I grew up on Shooting Stars. Like,
and he's a brilliant actor, isn't he?
Exactly.
Is that Matt Lucas?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Who hopefully we want to get on here. Soon.
Yeah, I've been speaking to Matt.
Really?
And he's agreed to come on it when we can nail down a good time.
You've got to ask him about the film Small Apartment.
Stop poaching our guests, man.
No,
we'll ask our questions, all right?
Going back to the Disney thing, though, I just think Disney is such a... I mean, Walt Disney was such a great storyteller and you know, the films have stood the test of time. Like, my little girl will sit, we've got that Disney Life thing.
That Disney Life?
No, it's a subscription thing.
Oh, right, it's not like...
So it's like, they've got most of their old films on there and stuff. So my little girl will watch, you know, a couple of weeks ago I put Dumbo on, knowing that there was going to be a remake. So I was like, right, okay, watch Dumbo, and then we'll go and watch the new one.
How is the new one?
I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard people have walked out and said it was
walked
dreadful.
Out, wow.
Yeah, so Elliot, who's Example, the rapper and singer, I saw that he'd put something on. He said that he'd walked out. His kid hated it. So
yeah, I mean, I went and watched it, and admittedly, Dumbo's probably not one of my favourite Disney films. I remember watching it when I was a kid.
Any Disney films.
Yeah, it was good. You know... But yeah, the new one, it just didn't do it for me. And again, you know, you look at it and it's Tim Burton, you go, okay. And then Michael Keaton's in it. So you go, okay, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito's in it. So you're thinking of like, you know, you're thinking of the great Tim
Batman
Burton
Returns,
film. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just didn't tick all the right spot for me. My wife loved it.
Tickle the right spot for you?
Always.
Hopefully not whilst watching Dumbo.
My nephew, he loved it. But then my little girl got a bit bored, I think, towards the end.
She's a fan of all the original
and
Disney
she
cartoons.
And again, I think it's because, I don't know, I just don't. Mm. I don't think they're necessarily just... The great thing about Disney is they've never just told stories for children.
Yeah,
and I think
course.
Now they're trying that even harder. So with Dumbo and that, like, it's not just for children, but it's even more, they're trying to get that adult market and the nostalgia market and all that. And I think, tell it for children and adults will just love it anyway. Do you know what I mean? I think, in a lot of cases.
I feel like I'm not missed out, but I didn't watch many Disney films at all growing up.
Really?
None at all, really.
Give us a list of some that you've watched.
Well, it's the most recent. When I think Disney, straight away, I think Frozen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's going to be a short list.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I grew up, when I was sort of 9, 10, I was watching Don't Be a Menace and...
great film.
Die Hard, mate.
Yeah, Don't Be a Menace and Ali G and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, I was really old before my time, I think.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so the idea of watching kids' films is like, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Frozen. I've probably watched that a couple of times just with
Frozen's
me and my wife,
great.
But...
Yeah.
Disney films just don't really. Charlotte loves them.
Yeah,
obviously she works in a nursery. She works with kids and she loves kids, so she's like obsessed with Disney. But yeah, it's just not really for me.
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying is like now they seem to just be doing the MCU and then Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, thank you.
And then and now just re-releasing old films with so like they've got The Lion King out this year, Aladdin.
Will Smith playing Aladdin.
Will Smith
playing the genie,
which he'll probably be great.
I'll probably go
he'll
watch
probably
that.
Be great in that role.
I'll watch that.
Yeah, I mean, again, have you seen Aladdin?
No.
Wow. like, you know, I mean, I don't, I love Will Smith.
Can we just say, just off the record, Matt is nailing them.
I know.
There was a full
this is on record.
And the only ones he hasn't touched are Andy's council estate biscuits.
I'm above them.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
can I hone in on something here? I think we've nailed it. Here's my problem with the Hollywood remake in a nutshell. Tim Burton has got one of the most imaginative minds in the history of Hollywood cinema. And you look at his early work, Beetlejuice, Batman, Batman Returns, Edward Scissorhands, Big Fish, all those films are just so original and idiosyncratic and fantastic, right? And then now he's just remaking all these films that have already been made fantastically well by someone else. He's remaking them all and doing lesser versions. And this is from one of the most brilliant brains in cinema. And I don't want to see Tim Burton do Dumbo, do Wonka, do Alice in Wonderland. I want to see him do Tim Burton. I want to see him be Tim Burton.
Yeah.
He can do anything he wants. So why is he going back to this regressive remake thing that's just, I think, a blanket characteristic kind of sweeping trend at the moment throughout Hollywood? And for me, it just bums me out because I want to see new stories. And you look at people like Jordan Peele, right? The films that he's making are so fresh and original and distinct to his, where he's coming from as an artist. And that's what I want to see more of, is auteurs and original, fresh thinking filmmakers.
I think it's difficult nowadays, though, because cinema's so different. And I think the way that... I don't know, the way that they used to work back in the day, i.e. Tim Burton and all the old school people, do you think that the reaction would be the same from our generation now?
No,
I think... Because things have changed so much.
I think one thing in
things have changed. People don't, like say, people aren't out playing board games, and, you know, kids aren't on the streets, you know, playing football and doing that as much anymore because there's so much...
But what about adults? What about adults?
Yeah, you need to cater for them. I think one thing, why it has changed so much nowadays, and probably why there's not as much imagination, everything seems to need to be a franchise now. Mm-hmm. Because of Marvel doing so well, because, you know...
Sequels, prequels.
Exactly. Everything now needs... So you couldn't... Beetlejuice, for instance, if that came out now and it was the same exact film, it was, you know, Michael Keaton and it was amazing. It would probably have the same reaction, but... We'd already have Beetlejuice 2 in the works and Beetlejuice 3 in the works.
Yeah. Like,
and
well, Pirates of the Caribbean is a great example.
So you genuinely believe that if Beetlejuice wasn't released and it was released next week, it would do as well as it did back then now?
I think so, because it's a great film. If it was exactly the same film released now, I think it would. I think genuinely it would do as well as it did.
Would it need umphing up?
But this is what I'm saying. The umphing up would be that you'd go, that was a great film. Oh, next year, I can't believe I'm going to get the midnight screening of Beetlejuice 2 because I need to, do you know what I mean? Like, admittedly, like I just said, with the Marvel Universe and that. I
suppose it's become more about money then.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's always been about money, hasn't it, ultimately?
Which is amazing for us as actors.
Because it's show business.
Yeah, speak for yourself, mate. I haven't worked for months. I want a franchise. Fucking pissed off with short films.
Why is this doing a franchise?
Sorry?
Kingsman?
That's a franchise.
Yeah, but I mean, that was only a very, very small part, wasn't it?
Were you in two of those, or just the last one?
Just the last one. And they're making one at the moment. They're making a prequel to it.
Yeah.
And then the one about making more. And yeah, I suppose, yeah.
They're comic book films.
Are they?
Yeah, originally a comic book, yeah.
I've never read the comic books, films.
Yeah, well, like a graphic novel, I think, which is a comic book for people who don't like admitting that they read comic books.
Can you get that on iPad now?
Probably.
It's meant that our time's changed. It's changed so much.
Yeah.
Can I ask you both this? I'm choking on a biscuit, hold on.
Well, you haven't had
many
of
them. That's what I get. Choking on a trio. Yeah. Man down. Have either of you two ever walked out of the cinema?
I have, and I'll feel terrible saying it because Michael Fassbender's a mate of mine, and if he's listening, I'm sorry. But Assassin's Creed.
I've not seen it. I enjoy the games.
I love the games. Went with my friend in Hull, and I was watching it, and I was confused. I was just like, what is going on here? I didn't get it. I thought it was just... I don't know what I thought. I don't know. And I was... It wasn't one of them films... Like, normally I can sit and just... Like with Shazam, when I watched that, I didn't particularly enjoy it. But you ride it out.
Yeah.
Ride it out. Whereas that, I said to my mate, I was like, I'm fucking off, mate. I said, I can't watch this. Can't watch it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever watched it. Oh, Baywatch. I walked out of Baywatch.
You walked out of that?
Yeah. But I had to get a train.
Oh, so it wasn't because you didn't like it, it was because you had to be.
But I didn't particularly enjoy it.
How come you went in there knowing you'd have to leave before the end?
Well, I don't know. Obviously, with the timings of the trailers are running for...
Of course, you get
an hour and a half of trailers now.
Did you have to run for the train?
I made the train in the end. I can't remember
when you were running for the train, was your mind in slow motion?
Some people stay in the darkness. You two are weird. I can't wait to leave.
I don't think I've ever walked out of a film.
No.
Have you not?
I don't think so, because I'm a bit like that. I'm a bit just like complacent. I'll just go,
I'll pay my money, I'm going to see this to the end.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, once, The Hobbit 3.
Yeah, once, This Is England. Hated it.
I don't think I would have seen that at the cinema. But yeah, Hobbit 3, one of the worst films I've ever seen. Love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I think they're three of the best fantasy films ever made. I thought all three of The Hobbits were awful. And again, it's like if you've got a small book and you're trying to make a trilogy out of
exactly.
That's you're stringing it out.
Mm.
Just make one film.
Yeah.
You know, Lord of the Rings are eight times the size. There's eight times as much going on. So that warrants a trilogy.
The Hobbit didn't.
It was so bad.
Yeah, I never enjoyed Lord of the Rings when they came out. I never enjoyed them when they came out. Again, films I fell asleep during. And I'm talking, I was probably about 10 when the first Lord of the Rings came out, maybe a bit younger. I've since rewatched them, really enjoyed them. The Hobbit was one of the first books I ever read. I used to love the book. And then when it was coming out and it was Martin Freeman playing it, I was like buzzing. I love Martin
Freeman. He's really good in it.
He's really good in a Vodafone advert.
It was when they started singing for me. Isn't he a bit with dwarves or orcs or something? And they start singing.
It's the dwarves,
singing.
It's James Nesbitt and his crew, yeah.
Yeah, that was when I was.
Classic Jimmy Nesbitt. Right.
Down the pub. A few songs.
No, I'm sure it was so bad. I didn't give any of them a chance. I think I watched the first bit of one and then I was like, yeah.
It's just awful. Real shame. It's a real shame as well when there's like a black mark on a franchise. The first three are so timeless and fantastic. And you just think you've made enough money from those three.
Just leave it.
Well, yeah, but how much money is enough?
Like Pirates of the Caribbean, isn't it? The first one, brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
second, the more they make, the worse they get. I think they are Disney, yeah.
They're Disney. So it's based on a Disney nerd.
Just make sure you don't say this is Stephen Graham.
Well, we've already done the interview thing.
Yeah, because Steve's in a minute. But no, same, like, I enjoyed the first Pirates, and then the second and third were, you know, they were all right.
I think Johnny Depp carried them as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, he's brilliant.
But that, for me, was the start of him becoming a lazy actor, because he used to be so good. And then I feel like as soon as he hit that Jack Sparrow stride, he just started, and Wonka and Alice in Wonderland, and it's like we're just seeing this same variation of this kooky kind of... You look at him in a film like Finding Neverland,
yeah,
and you see he's got great depth and he's a brilliant actor. And he can be the kooky Gilbert Grape as well. Oh, man, incredible.
Which one's that, sorry?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Oh, I've not seen it.
Dude, for Leonardo DiCaprio alone, you need to see that. He's about 11 or 12 years old, isn't it? And he plays this autistic kid.
He's amazing.
Oh, nice.
He's one of them, like, I remember Joe Hartley, who played Cynthia in This Is England. She sat down and showed me, and I was like, I was only 13, I think. No, I'm not watching a fucking film about eating grapes or whatever. And then she said, let us watch it. And I watched it, and I was like, it stuck with me, that film. And I've watched it a number of times.
Check it out, man. It's an incredible film.
Like, Leonardo DiCaprio is amazing.
So while we're on this, and with Pirates of the Caribbean, let's go on to kind of like reboots and where do you stand on them? Like refreshing a series.
Batman did it incredibly well. The Dark Knight.
Yeah, they were
insane.
Yeah.
And when I first heard they were doing it, because I was such a big fan of the two Burton films, and I actually really like the Joel Schumacher Batman Forever.
That was a great one.
With Jim Carrey and...
Yes, great film, great film.
Who plays Two-Face?
It's... what's his face? Out of Men in Black.
Will Smith.
No, not Will Smith.
The other one.
What's his name?
I want to say Harvey Keitel, but it's not.
No.
What's his name?
John Travolta.
No. Right, we'll find his name.
I can't believe we don't know his name.
Why is that?
Tommy Lee Jones. There you go.
Yeah,
it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Obviously, we won't mention Batman?
Batman and Robin. Yeah. And that's when it really dipped. And so when I first heard they were going to be doing that, I just thought, nah, you're not going to beat the Tim Burton ones. Why bother? And then, boy, did they. And they took it in such a darker, more adult direction.
Who's played the best Joker?
I actually think the Jack Nicholson Joker is incredibly iconic.
Joaquin Phoenix is going to be insane.
I think that Heath Ledger is, till the end of time, always going to be the ultimate Joker.
Have you seen the Batmans?
No, not you, I saw Batman Begins.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The Christian Bale ones, basically. Oh, I've not seen it.
They're
so you've
they're
seen
good.
The Dark Batman Knight, Begins, and the Dark Knight,
Dark Knight, and then Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, because so Batman Begins is Tim Burton.
Oh, is it?
Batman Begins is
no. Batman Returns is
no.
Tim
I was going to say yeah.
Batman Begins was the first reboot with Bale.
And I thought
and
that
Liam
was
Neeson. So good. I mean,
great films.
So many different people have played the Joker. So you think
Heath Ledger in a different league?
Joaquin Phoenix playing
Mark Hamill. Just going to throw that there. Probably the best Joker.
What was he the Joker in?
In the cartoons.
Oh, right.
Fucking
right.
Great.
What was the guy in the original 60s show as well? He was funny. I think Joaquin Phoenix is one of the greatest actors on earth, yeah. So I'm incredibly intrigued to see what he does with it.
You know, everyone says about the Joker's got this curse about sending everyone, like whoever plays it goes a bit wacky or whatever. Like, Joaquin Phoenix gets so into his characters and he's so eccentric and weird in his own way anyway. Like, I wonder what that's done to him playing this cursed part.
What was the film he made where he pretended to be a rapper for an entire year?
Oh, I don't know.
It's directed by Casey Affleck.
Okay.
I think it's maybe called I'm Not Here.
Oh, right, okay.
You need to check it out. And it's basically like a year-long experimental art project. And he goes on chat shows as himself, but as the rapper. He's like, I've quit acting. I'm now a rapper. And it's basically like a mockumentary, but it's not funny. It's dark. And it's this in-depth exploration of him giving up one like craft and then going into this hip hop world, but just becoming this cokehead drunk. It's insane. And it's all acting. It's all him just on the edge of the precipice, like
shit.
Beyond the point of no return.
Joaquin Phoenix is
he's committed.
He's a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. I mean, even like Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, was
amazing. Gladiator, evil fucking dude.
Yeah, I watched one with him recently. I can't remember what it was. It's quite a new film. There was quite a bit an uproar about it not being nominated for more Oscars or. Was it called Will You Be There or
I don't know
again we don't
yeah I know the one you mean yeah yeah yeah
I'll have a quick look now.
He's a powerhouse, but yeah, the reboots, I mean, for me it's the horrors, the Halloweens, the Texas Chainsaw Massacres,
like or don't like,
dislike with a vengeance.
Again, I think is that though, because like you were saying earlier on, like with a horror film, you've got such, if you watch them, probably when you was younger, the Halloweens and stuff.
Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the two originals, two of the best, not just horror films, best films ever made, I think.
But I mean, because the reboots, are you just a bit more prepared for it?
No, they're just never good. They're just never good. Mm. Again, like I like original concepts. So if it's something like The Conjuring, and someone will probably go, now that's a remake and you didn't know.
But
I loved it. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah. It's about the originality now that filmmaking, writing and things.
It's lacking. Yeah.
It is lacking, but things have changed so much that, like, again, it just goes back to the whole, people will want to watch films like Ready Player One, you know, that's more relatable to real life with the VR stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, is that an original, isn't it?
Ready Player One. It's a book that they've turned into a film.
Okay, yeah.
And adaptations, I'm behind all day.
Yeah.
There's never a film that's as good as the book, just because a book, I think, is a superior medium, because you can get lost in it, you attribute your own imagination to the setting, the characters, everything. So I don't think, even if it's an incredible film like A Clockwork Orange, it's one of my favourite films of all time, but the book's still better. Books are just better for me than films.
Yeah,
but,
and if it gets people into reading more, then all the fucking best for it, doesn't it?
100%.
What I like is when, like we were saying earlier on, like I know you said, Tomo, kids nowadays, they want CGI, they want explosions and stuff like that. See, I like when, so like, as bad as the last one was, the newer Star Wars.
Don't even get me started on Star Wars.
But what I liked about that is they did the opposite in a way of what you, because obviously when the first Star Wars, are you not a fan either?
Not a fan,
really?
No.
So when the first Star Wars came out, obviously in the 70s, early 80s and stuff, all of it was practical. Everything in it was practical, so they didn't really have CGI then. Then when they did the prequels, episode 1, 2, and 3, everything was CGI.
They were all overdone, weren't they?
I mean, I like them.
Do you really?
Yeah, controversial.
Even as like a hardcore Star Wars fan?
Yeah, man. I mean, a lot of people give them slate, but I enjoy them. They were the first ones that I watched as well.
Were they really? Well, right.
The first one of the prequels came out when I was like 7. I went and watched it at the cinemas. I watched them first, then obviously watched the others. The older ones are better. But the newer ones that they've come out and done with Disney and stuff, what I liked about them is that they did do quite a lot of it practical again, which I love me, because like going back to like movies, like one of my favourite films growing up was like Gremlins and stuff like that, and there's talks about rebooting Gremlins, which part of me is excited for because I love Gremlins, but then part of me is like, they're just going to fucking ruin it
with
CGI.
But at the end of the day, it's still going to be there.
What? Yeah,
that's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah, the originals are still there, I guess.
But all the money going to these remakes, I would just like to see, and surely you guys as actors would as well, you'd like to see that money going towards exciting...
Good
original dramas.
Good, yeah, good scripts and stuff. There's nothing more frustrating than reading a brilliant script and you being attached to it, or you have your audition or whatever, and then you call your agent a month later and they're like, oh, they ain't got the financing for it. And then, yeah, maybe, like
and
you
then
said...
here comes the eighth.
Here comes
Texas Chainsaw
here comes
Massacre.
Ready Player 12.
Yeah.
And Judge Rinder and all that shit that's being made. And then your agent's telling you that there's no financing... To make these brilliant scripts, and for me that's one of the most frustrating. I know we touched bases on it in other podcasts, but for me that's one of the most frustrating things about the industry, that money is being wasted on shit.
And let's be honest, you could make 10 of those films for one of these.
But having said that, again, going back to what people want now, people want to watch Geordie Shaw, not for me, but that's fine. People want to watch Only Way is Essex, not for me, that's fine. And that's what people want to see nowadays. So that's what they're going to put the money into.
Yeah, exactly.
I.e. with the scripts that are being remade. A Star is Born is another one that's already been made twice, now for the third time. People, you know...
I can get behind that. That was a good film, I thought.
I thought it was brilliant. I've not seen the original two, but I thought that was amazing. And I thought Bradley Cooper was... Whenever people think about Bradley Cooper, and me as well, I think Hangover. I think of him as this knobhead who's pissed up in Vegas with his mates... When in actual fact, you watch American Sniper and you watch...
He's a great actor.
He's
Silver Linings.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, he's amazing. Like
Rocket Raccoon.
And Lady Gaga as well. Lady Gaga was a phenomenal...
She was a revelation, wasn't she?
Amazing. Like, I never... Not that I didn't have respect for her, but I just wasn't bothered about her.
Because
that song, Poker Face, was all you heard on the radio. And it's like, oh, there's Lady Gaga again.
Wearing a meat dress.
Yeah. But then I walked out of that...
I wonder if she'd
cinema.
Get away with that now. She'd probably have a career ended overnight, wouldn't she?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She's Lady Gaga, isn't she? I think she can pretty much do what she wants.
Rise above,
but the internet's
rise
got
above
more
the
power
PC
than...
police.
Yeah. Right. So
should we talk about the little event going on?
Exactly. Yeah. You just read my mind.
Love it. Should we have a celebratory biscuit? Or is it just going to be me? I'm just trying to bring you down to my level.
You've had a load of biscuits. So, I mean, you're pretty much the brains behind it, which is, I mean, why...
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of organising.
Yeah, tell us about the Attack of the Podcasts.
Buy me one more minute. I've just shovelled a hobnob in.
Shovelled the what
That's
in?
What she said. So, the big thing for me with podcasts is you don't get live interaction.
Yeah.
And that's what I really miss about working on the radio is you'd take calls, you'd get listeners on the air, you'd have a chat with them, you'd play their requests, and it was a very interactive medium. Podcasts are fantastic because, unlike radio, you're free to say whatever you want, mm-hmm. waffle on for as long as you want. There's no time constraints, there's no constrictions. But the one thing I miss from doing them is that instant engagement with, you know, fellow passionate people. And I think that people who listen to podcasts are actively engaged in the same sort of stuff, aren't they, as you as a host and your guests, because otherwise they wouldn't sit and listen for an hour to people talk. So about a year ago, after I did the podcast with Dayton from Dirty Sanchez, the response to that was just insane. And I actually just did a nice graphic to celebrate 100 episodes of Life in the Stocks, the end of season one, and I did the top 20 most downloaded and streamed episodes. And the top two are Pritchard and Dayton from Dirty Sanchez, which was nuts. And it showed all three of us how many people out there still have a fondness and a soft spot in their heart for Dirty Sanchez. So we decided, let's go out on tour and basically do live podcasts where I interview you two and we tell all the stories from behind the scenes and give people the chance to kind of get behind the curtain. And so we did about 14 shows over the course of a year all over the UK and Ireland. And they were just brilliant. They were really good fun. We got to meet all the Sanchez fans. And, you know, especially for the guys, after all these years, for them to still see people out there engaging with what they do, I think was like a beautiful moment for them.
Yeah.
And it's just a hell of a lot of fun. So I've done a few more since then. And then I thought, well, rather than just doing it on my own, let's bring in some other podcasts. Because the other thing that I miss, you know, you guys have each other. with me, it's just a very solitary. So I miss collaborating and, you know, doing stuff with other people. Obviously, I have my guests, but it's nice to collaborate and reach out to other people doing similar things. So obviously, you've both been on mine and look you guys do on this one. And thank you for having me on. Have you? It's a very much a Marmite drink, I've found. People either love it or hate it. No, it's all good because it looks deceiving. You're not a fan?
No. Go on. Attack
on the podcast. And then the Hardcore Listing guys had me on their show about a year ago. They're obviously part of Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Yeah, I've been on there as well. Great show.
On the Hardcore one. Yeah. And I just thought, right, I'm going to reach out to you two and those two and pitch the idea of a triple feature live podcast event, sort of like an afternoon matinee style thing, an all-day event. So that's what's happening. So we've got the venue. It's in Islington at the O2 Academy. And we're going to be there on Saturday, the 20th of July.
Yeah.
So it's in the summer. Obviously, everybody will be hopefully off school. It's on a Saturday anyway. We'll open the doors at 3:00. And everybody comes in, and then the idea is I'll do a podcast live on stage. We'll take a short break. Chris and Stu will do a podcast live on stage, take a short break, and then you two get on stage and do a live podcast. And then at the end, we'll all hang out, have pictures with everybody. Yeah, hopefully, all get some podcast merch ready that we can flog.
Oh, and we need to do some of that.
We've all got to get some. I haven't got any myself either. And basically, just meet the people who listen to our podcast. That's really, without being too much of a hippie, that for me is the main driving force behind doing them, is getting to put faces to names of people that you see on Twitter and Instagram messaging you saying, I love your show. So that's the concept in a rather large nutshell. And I can reveal, I'm going to do it. Yeah, my guest is going to be Pancho from Dirty Sanchez. Brilliant. And Pancho has not yet appeared on my podcast. I've recorded an episode with him, which goes out in 3 weeks' time. And he's just one of the funniest people you could ever hope to meet. As you see him in the show, that is basically, he's not an actor, he's not you two, he's not playing characters, that's him.
So for the people who don't know, Pancho is, he's
the short one
from Dirty Sanchez.
And if you haven't seen the show, then believe me, you're going to be, I think, rather entertained. Obviously, people know the stunts and everything that was on the screen and in the films, but some of the stuff that went on off camera is what I love about those guys is
very Welsh,
incredibly Welsh.
Well, I mean, they are all from Wales, so that'll do it.
And you know how you've got bands like Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and all these bands that have lived very decadent hedonistic lifestyles. Yeah. All those stories are very much in print and out there. Whereas with these guys, because none of them have books out about them, because the press don't write about what they've done, all these stories are basically untold. So there's like an untapped well of just hilarious, debauched, crazy stories. And I've made a point of leaving off many of the best ones from the podcast that I did with Pancho for our live event. Yeah. So I would say, check out the episode with him to wet your whistle and then get some tickets and come down. And obviously, we still have to be announced, Stu and Chris's guest.
Yeah.
And yourselves as well.
We confirmed ours the other day, didn't we? Which we won't say.
It's locked in.
But it's awesome. It's brilliant. I can't wait.
Yeah, man.
Can we have
a clue? What sort of medium are they in?
God no.
He's definitely, you can have a clue. It's definitely not a medium. He's
very big.
He'd order off big and tall.
So it's a male and he's fairly sizable.
I mean, he's huge,
Cool.
Yeah. So, looking forward to it.
And I'm really looking forward to it,
Thanks for inviting us around to your house. And
my pleasure.
Eating all the biscuits that
my
you
own biscuits.
And, thanks for buying us biscuits and then eating them.
It's basically just so I can indulge my sweet tooth and have an excuse. Do you ever get to the bottom of the topic? Is there ever a moment where you go...
Do you not listen?
When we...
I've listened to the Stephen Graham one. I can't remember whether you decided whether or not at the end...
Yeah.
No, so when we first started, I think the Stephen one as well, probably. So the first, say... 4 episodes. Yeah. We used to try and change the guest's mind,
right?
But then, like with the Stephen one, like we just agreed with him. So we're
and
not really trying to change
minds as well. Like,
we've got.
Well, you two almost had a fight. This is an exclusive.
Well, we've got a subject this afternoon. We won't say what it is because we're recording more.
Mm.
Which we earlier on we was thinking like
exactly.
You agreed and I
disagreed.
Disagreed, but it was kind of. Yeah, we had a bit of a disagreement about it, which I think that's what makes good chat,
Completely.
So
that's it, because we don't want to come away with anyone, we don't want to say we're right, you're wrong, or whatever.
And big, you're small.
You know, again, we've said this quite a lot on the podcast, is a lot of our kind of reviews and stuff is like having a chat with your mates down the pub.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we want. Mm. So, you can have a chat with your mates down the pub about anything, but
And you don't need to walk away at the end all on the same page.
Yeah, you don't need to be right or wrong. Do you know what I mean? My gran used to say, you know, you can argue about two things and never come to the bottom of it, like religion and politics. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It's yes. Like, we don't need an answer. We don't need a yes or a no. Let's just have a conversation, I guess. So,
You've made me think about it in a slightly different way, though, Tom, in terms of the audience and their needs wants.
Yeah.
But I would like to just see less remakes and more original stories.
Yeah, so would
as
I.
As a final thought.
Yeah, so and I mean, you know, if you are going to remake any big blockbusters, me and Tomo are available.
Hey!
Nice one, Matt. Thank you very much.
Fellas.
Again, the end of another episode. I guess the listeners are probably fed up of listening to our voices now. They've probably had it for an hour and 10 minutes.
It went on a bit, yeah. I mean, I think we chatted there for probably around about an hour and 20 minutes.
And towards the end, I'm not kidding you, I thought my bladder was going to blow up.
Would you need a
wee? At one point, I tried putting my hand up to say I need to pause to go and have a piss. My teeth was underwater. Yeah.
I've never heard that. Teeth was underwater. Yeah,
as much as I enjoyed the chat, I would like... Inside, I was dying. I really needed to go for a piss.
Yeah, I just felt sorry for Matt having to eat all them biscuits. He did a train on them biscuits,
didn't
he?
Yeah.
I mean, fair play.
Yeah,
fair play.
The only ones that he didn't nail
were my ones.
But I agree with you, those decent biscuits.
They're nice biscuits.
Yeah, I like them, yeah. But no, those always the ones that are at the bottom of the tin broken up. You get little bits off.
Yeah, but I like them. I like an underdog story.
You are talking broken biscuits now.
Another amazing chat. I always... So this is our second... third with Jess Ellis, person who makes a podcast as well.
Yeah.
Which I... Because I sit in front of the laptop and the recording gear and stuff, I always find quite nervous because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing properly, and they probably do. So we had a bit of an issue, didn't we, when we got there?
A little bit, but that's because you've got a new laptop.
Yeah,
that's what it is, and it was just figuring it out. And I think we've got a dodgy headphone jack.
It just went then, which if you heard a bit of like knocking about, it was me trying to get it in. But yeah, great chat. And I Matt asked at the end of it as well, like, do you ever come to kind of a resolution? And I sometimes like, I don't think we need to. Like,
that was the original plan. It was like, we'll go in and try and change our guest mind. But in the end, we was like, actually, it's nice for us to just have a discussion. It don't have to be a game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can sit and chat, and especially with people like Matt who are so chatty. And we've been really, really fortunate. There's just a loud motorbike going past.
Listen
there.
To that.
It's London for you, baby. and that's what's so nice about it, is we've been so fortunate enough to have guests who have been so chatty and not reserved.
Yeah, man.
Because what's different about our podcast as well is we don't chat about personal life or... chat about work as much.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a laid back sort of chilled chat. That motorbike's
still good. Just revving outside, isn't he? He wants to be on the podcast. Oh, motorbikes are overrated, mate. You know, we're lucky enough that we've not had any really reserved guests.
No. Oh my God, I'm going to go out there and beat him up.
Let him go. Is he gone?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. I mean, if you're a motorbike enthusiast, please tweet us what that motorbike was.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some great guests, and Matt was one of them that we don't really know. We've met him once, both us. But we're going to be working again with him in the future. We mentioned in the episode
there,
at
the end, didn't we? Yeah.
That we've got a live show on the 20th of July. That's a Saturday night, and that's in the O2 in Islington.
Yeah.
So London again. We're not going to say who our guest is.
Not yet.
Just yet.
Yeah.
But we've got a great guest.
Yeah.
And if you are looking for a different kind of night out, a Saturday night, it's more of an afternoon thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you are looking for a different
way. But you can still get pissed, because I'm probably going to. So.
Yeah, I think there's a bar there and stuff, so you can have a few shandies. But yeah, I mean, please do come and meet us, come and watch the show live. We've never done a live one before, so we don't know how it's going to go. It's going to be
It'll be interesting. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's going to be a different tone, isn't it? Different feeling.
You never. I suppose we're quite lucky in terms that we don't delve into anything that's quite serious, whereas Matt can.
Yeah.
Matt Stocks does from Life in the Stocks. He can go quite deep. So it'll be interesting to see how that is with a live audience.
That range.
You know, the guests, you know, emotions might be running high and things. So it's really, really interesting. I mean, ours is probably the more light-hearted one.
I mean, hardcore listening's quite sort of light-hearted as well.
Yeah,
so,
of course, yeah.
If you don't listen to hardcore listening as well, give them a shout.
Chris and Stu, they basically... you're similar to ours, really. You go on with a subject, but you go on with your top five of that subject. So you could do
yours was food, wasn't it?
Mine was top five shit dinners that are actually shit quite dinners, good.
Yeah. Everything that you cook, then.
Yeah, I remember that time I made you lobster.
Yeah,
but
that's
yes,
what I meant.
So yeah, I mean, we've rabbited on now. We're up to an hour and a half, so we'll let you get on. Have a good day. Have a good week. Thanks for putting up with us again on this Monday morning.
I hope you all enjoyed your Easter weekend.
Yeah, man. It's Bank Holiday Monday, isn't it? So
I bet everyone's hanging out their asses.
I hope we're their tonic. I hope we're their we're their Lucozade on this Easter Monday. enjoy your Easter, guys. Don't eat too much chocolate. Peace out.
Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.